Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to begin there in verse 6 tonight. And we'll just kind of cover a few things that we went over the last time that we were together. Seems like it's been a little while. But Ephesians chapter 1, and one of the last things that we was talking about, of course, was the Lord and His foreknowledge and in our predestination and all of these different types of things. And we discussed all of man's free will and election and all that kind of stuff the last time that we were together. And we can see that the Apostle Paul was, in the very first part of Ephesians, was just praising the Lord, really, in essence, first and foremost, for his salvation. Thanking God that he was saved. Thanking God that he was on his way to heaven. Thanking the Lord that the Lord knew who the Apostle Paul was before he even laid the foundations of the earth. That he knew the Apostle Paul would get saved. Of course, he knew you'd get saved. Amen. He knew all of these different things before the foundations of the earth was even laid. And he is just praising the Lord in the very first part of the book of Ephesians. And we get into verse 6, we see that he continues his praise for the things that he is so thankful for. And as we begin there in verse 6 tonight, notice he says there, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And so there in verse 6, as he continues his praise, I like the idea that as he thinks about, as he was thinking about salvation, he knows that salvation is due to the grace of God. And so he is thankful for the grace of God, because without the grace of God, he would not be saved, nor would you or I. The grace of God has the idea of unmerited favor. And that's what grace is. And the idea that God would be good to man that doesn't deserve it. Right? That is one of the reasons why we got saved, because God gave his only begotten son to die for us on the cross. We didn't deserve freedom. We didn't deserve to be saved. We didn't deserve to have our sins forgiven. We didn't deserve to go to heaven. We didn't deserve our names to be written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. We didn't deserve any of that. We deserved the devil's hell because of our sin. But yet, because of God's grace, he sent his son, the Lord Jesus, to die for us and made a way for us to go to heaven. And so as he thinks about salvation, he then turns to the grace of God. And so there in verse 6, he says, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Glory, having the idea of honor or majesty, so to speak. The glory of his grace. We sing the song all the time thinking about amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You can kind of plug that in there in verse 6, because that's what the Apostle Paul is, in essence, really praising God about. He's praising God for his grace, talking about how amazing that it is, thinking about how fortunate, how blessed he is to be saved, and knowing that he knows the God of the universe, and knowing that he's on his way to heaven. And not only because of who the apostle was just that day. I mean, whenever this was getting written down, I'm sure the Apostle Paul was that very day just thanking the Lord that he was basking in his grace, but not just that day, because he needs grace that day, but also thinking about his former life, what the Lord had saved him out of. I mean, you remember there in Acts chapter 9, the Lord, when he met the Lord Jesus there on the Damascus Road, thinking about his former life, the kind of person that he used to be, and even how he persecuted the church and was there at the stoning of Stephen, the very first martyr of the scriptures, and how he was involved in the persecution of the saints. And as he thinks about the grace of God, I'm sure as all this is being written down, he's thinking, you know what? When I think about the kind of person that I've been, how I persecuted the church, and how I was there from the very beginning, doing all I could to destroy the church that God was trying to build, he said, I'm so thankful for the grace of God. I'm so thankful that God still saw fit to save me despite of my wickedness, despite of my evilness, despite of who I've been, despite of the things I've done. There was a God in heaven that still desired to save me. And so I imagine as he was thinking about all these things, as it was being written down, that he was thinking about not just how I failed him today, because I'm sure he did fail him that day. We all have. Even today, we all have. But I'm sure he was thinking about even in his past life, the wicked things that he had done in his life that the Lord had forgiven him of. And so there in verse 6, he says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, thanking God for his unmerited favor in his life. And notice what he says there in verse 6. He says, after that, he begins to say, wherein, because when he says wherein, in other words, he's saying, I'm praising God for the grace that he had on me, wherein. It's because of this in essence, because of this, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. It was because grace. It was because of grace. It was because God shed his grace on the Apostle Paul. Because God shed his grace on us. It is in that wherein he has made us accepted to God. Because what's he talking about? He's talking about the sacrifice that his son has made for us on the cross. Because the Lord Jesus, when God gave his grace, which was his son, it was his son there in verse 6 that made us accepted in the beloved. Made us accepted into the household of God. Made us accepted into the family of God. That would be the beloved there. He made us accepted into the inheritance that God has for us in heaven. He made us accepted into the throne room of God. Why? Because of his grace. Because God gave his son, the Lord Jesus died for us, and because he died for us and we put our faith in what he has done for us, we have now been made accepted in the sight of the Lord, which as before we were not. Now you know why we weren't accepted before God? Because we were sinners, we were lost, we were tainted with sin. All of us were nasty and filthy and guilty of sin itself. But whenever we got saved, the Bible says that the blood of the Lord Jesus, he cleansed us, he washed us, and all the handwriting of ordinance that was written against, anything that could be said against us was then washed away. It was nailed to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was buried with him. And we can see there in verse 6 that he says that to the glory of his grace, wherein he made us accepted in the beloved. It was God's grace that gave his son. It was God's grace. It was his unmerited favor. The Lord God gave his son, the Lord Jesus, for us. And within in that, we were made accepted to him there in verse 6. So whenever he says wherein, he's referring back to what the Lord Jesus did for us on the cross. It was because of God's grace, wherein he sent his son in essence, and he made us accepted in the beloved. Now we think about that word accepted. Now there's a lot of things in this world, like you have to do certain things to be accepted. Now we think about certain clubs. Now you have to be able to do certain things in certain clubs to be accepted in certain clubs. Like maybe you have to have certain skills, or maybe you have to have certain knowledge, or maybe you have to have certain abilities or talents or whatever it could be. Maybe you have to have some sort of tenure there, to have to be in a club or some kind of knowledge, whatever it could be. But I'm thankful that when I got accepted to the family of God, the only thing I had to know is who the Lord Jesus was. I had to know that, of course, that I was a sinner, yes, but all I had to know was who Jesus is, that he could save me, that I was a sinner, and that he could save me, and that he would accept me into the family of God. Now, there are some clubs that you can assign to that you can say, well, I'd like to be a part of, I can say this, I would sure love. Now, I guess if you want to call a symphony a club, I don't know if you can do that. Let's just call it that tonight. Let's just say I want to be a part of the symphony. Imagine me being in the symphony, playing a musical instrument. How many have ever seen me play a musical instrument before? None of you have. You know why? Because I don't play one. But let's just say I want to be a part of the symphony, and I'm going to go in, and I'm going to say, all right, conductor, and all right, everybody else, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a part of your group tonight. They're going to look at me and they're going to think, well, can you do this? And can you do this? And can you do this? And how many years you've been doing this? And how many years you've been doing this? How many years you've been doing this? And I'm going to say no to every single one of them. You know what they're going to do? They're going to say, all right, we'll see you later. You ain't going to be a part of this. You're not going to be playing here. You're not going to be singing here. You're not going to be doing anything here. Maybe try. Can you do that thing? No, can you do that, maybe? That's not all I can play tonight. But I've been sitting here saying this evening that, listen, there are a lot of things on this world that you have to have certain abilities and talents and knowledges and wisdoms and all these different things to be a part of. But listen, to be accepted by God, all you have to do is acknowledge that you're a sinner, know that it was by the grace of God that he sent his only begotten son, and if you'll put your faith and trust in him, then you will be accepted by the beloved. You'll be accepted into the beloved. You'll be accepted into the family of God. And so there in verse 6, he is praising God for his grace. But because it is by his grace that we are saved. I mean, you can even look in chapter 2 if your Bible's kind of like mine, in the very next chapter, just right over there in chapter 2 and verse 8. The Bible says, for by grace are you what? For by grace are you saved. Even in chapter 2, verse 8. And so we go over to chapter 1 and verse 6. He says, to the praise of the glory of his grace. And it is because of his grace, wherein, which is the Lord Jesus, he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And so he's thankful for God's grace. But I see there in verse 6 that he's also thankful that he has a family of God, that he has a place where he belongs, that there is somewhere that he can look forward to. And so there in verse 6, as he continues to praise God about salvation, he thanks God for grace. He thanks God for sending his only begotten Son, because he knows that that is the only way that he would ever be accepted. He knows that's the only way that he would ever go to heaven. He knows that's the only way that you would ever go to heaven, because he says, praise to the glory of his grace, wherein. In other words, that, like I said, that wherein, the idea that this is the only way. The only way that we could be accepted is wherein, because it was of the Lord Jesus. The only way we could be accepted is because of the grace of God, wherein he hath made us accepted. Whereas in other clubs and other things on this earth, other people might turn us down because we're not good enough here, not good enough there. Don't know this, don't know that. And there are other places on this world where they wouldn't have us, they wouldn't want us. But I can tell you what, anybody that desires to know who the Lord Jesus is, anybody that wants to be a part of the family of God, anybody that desires to have their sins forgiven and washed away, doesn't matter where you've been, doesn't matter what you've done, where you belong to, doesn't matter where you're at right now, but if you'll just put your faith and trust in the grace of God and trust and believe that Jesus died on that cross, then you can be a part of the family of God. And so while the world may reject us, there in verse 6, the Apostle Paul is thankful that he has a place where he can go and a place where he is accepted and with someone that accepts him. Now, he's accepted not because Paul was good enough. God didn't accept the Apostle Paul because he was a good speaker. God didn't accept the Apostle Paul because he thought he was a good man, or because he knew a lot about the Old Testament scriptures. God didn't accept Paul because of any of that, nor will God accept you tonight for the knowledge that you possess, the wisdom that you may have, or the possessions that you hold close to you. No, God accepts us tonight only on the basis of the soul blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, plus nothing, minus nothing. And so there in verse 6, to praise be the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. It was he the one that made us accepted, not anybody else, not the Pope, not Confucius, it wasn't Buddha, it wasn't Muhammad, it wasn't none of these other folks, but he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And there in verse 7, he says, in whom. Now, who's the whom we're talking about? The same whom, the same is the wherein there in verse 6. We're talking about the Lord Jesus. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his, once again, grace. Very thankful for his grace there again in verse 7. But he says, in whom, that whom is Christ. And he says, in whom we have redemption. Now, what does it mean to be redeemed? It means to have the idea to purchase or to buy back to yourself. We have been redeemed. See, we used to belong to the devil. We were children of disobedience, the Bible says. But then the Lord Jesus, he died on that cross. And because of God's grace, the unmerited favor towards us, wherein he sent the Lord Jesus to die for us, and if we would put our faith and trust in him, that we could have a place of belonging, we can have a person of belonging. And there in verse 7, he says, in whom we have redemption. This Lord Jesus, this Savior, this Son of God, this wherein, this in whom tonight, if you put your faith and trust in him, you can be bought back from the place of sin, bought back from the devil himself, and have position in the Lord Jesus. And so he says, in whom we have redemption. We have been purchased. We have been bought back by the blood of Jesus. Not by the blood of bulls and goats, and not by silver, and not by gold, and not by possessions that are on this earth, but bought back by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. And notice he says through his blood. Didn't say anybody else's blood, because listen, nobody else could save you. There is nobody else on this earth that ever lived a sin, that ever lived a sinless life like the Lord Jesus. There's nobody else that has ever lived, nor ever will live, other than Christ himself, who is able to die for the sins of you and the sins of me and the sins of the whole world. And so the Bible says there in verse 7, specifically, in whom we have redemption through his blood. through the blood of Christ, not anybody else, but through the blood of Christ. We were purchased, we were bought back by the blood of Jesus. Notice you don't see any other works there. He didn't say it was we have redemption through his blood and baptism, or redemption through his blood and good works, or redemption through his blood and your money, or redemption through his blood and popularity, or any of those other things. But it was redemption solely in the finished work, completed work of the Lord Jesus himself. And so there in verse 7, we have redemption through his blood. We have been bought back, paid back, by the blood of the Lord Jesus. And listen, the blood of Jesus is able to buy us back from any sinful condition that we're in. Listen, there is no sin that can stain the soul so bad that the blood of Jesus can't wash away. And so just let me tell you something tonight, no matter what sin you got into, no matter how bad you've been, and no matter how unacceptable you think you might be, I guarantee you, as I say all the time, if you lift your hand up tonight, you'll see that God's willing to accept you into the family of the Lord. If you'll just believe and trust in this Son, the Lord Jesus, wherein he has paid the ultimate price for you to get saved tonight. And if you'll just lift up your hand, you'll notice and see that he's already there. There in verse 7, we have redemption through his blood. And so the Apostle Paul is praising God for salvation. He's praising God for grace. He's praising God that he's been accepted, because everywhere else that he turned in the world, listen, he wasn't accepted by the world. He wasn't accepted by the religious system. But whenever he comes to the Lord Jesus, he knows that he has a God that will never leave him nor forsake him. Amen. And so he knows that no matter how bad the day goes, and no matter what he faces, that he can get into the prayer closet of God, and he knows that God in heaven would hear him. No matter what trouble he gets into, that he knows that there's a God in heaven that will be that present help in that time of trouble. That pavilion, that shield, that buckler, that place where he needs to go for safety, that rock that he clings to for power and surety. And there in verse 7 he says, in whom we have redemption. And so he begins to, in essence, praise God again that he was saved. Praise God that God bought him back off the auction block of sin. You remember that? You remember the story of Hosea, and Hosea, his wife was down there, and she was there on the auction block of sin. And God used that as a picture of God's faithfulness to us despite the sinful life that we live. And he went down there, and his wife was on the auction block down there, had been used up by the world, and he went down there, and nobody wanted her. She was in essence going for pennies on the dollar and a bag of dog food nonetheless. I mean, what they were giving for her was nothing. The world didn't value her a bit. But whenever he went down there, he saw something nobody else saw. He went down and he said, this is my wife. This is the one I love. And I'm going to buy her back, and I'm going to bring her home with me, and she's going to stay with me forever. I never want her to go anywhere. And that's how God feels about you tonight. You've been on the auction block of sin. You've done this, and you've done all kinds of things that I have too. But God is love, and God is grace, and God is mercy that is renewed every single morning. God saw fit to die for you and save you and forgive you and cleanse you and buy you back from that place. There in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Lord Jesus bought us back, purchased us. We are a purchased possession tonight by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said before, not by the blood of bulls and goats, not by silver and gold, but by the precious blood of the Lord. He in whom we have redemption through his blood. And through his blood, what is it that we received? Of course, we received cleansing, but he also mentions the forgiveness of sins. And so the Apostle Paul, he just keeps thinking about how great that he has it when he thinks about salvation. He thinks about God's grace. He thinks about God's acceptance of him. He thinks about the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. He thinks about all the things that he's been forgiven for. I mean, can you only imagine what it would be like if all of us here tonight, that if we were lost, that we had the one day answer to God for all the sins that we'd ever committed in our life, all the things we've done, all the things we've said, all the things we've thought. I mean, the Bible tells us that every single word that is uttered out of our mouth will have to get account for on the day of judgment. And I'm just telling you, listen, somebody said this a long time ago, maybe that's why God gave us one mouth and two ears, so we should listen twice as much as we speak, right? And so there in verse 7, he is so thankful for the forgiveness of sins. I mean, whenever we got saved, what was
What did we do? We saw where we were at. We saw that we were sinners. We understood the sins we had committed and that it was an offense towards an almighty, righteous, holy God. And so we said, Lord, please forgive me and cleanse me of all my sin. And so the Apostle Paul was just thankful that he has a God in heaven that cared enough about him that whenever he formed this whole world and all the galaxies and all that there and all that is therein, that when God scattered all the stars about and created all the fish in the sea and the birds of the air, that he looked down on his life even before the foundations of the world, that God, when God knew him, that one day that he would forgive him and save him, and he was thankful for that. That the God in heaven had done all these things was willing enough to say, just like he said through Isaiah, come now and let us reason together. Listen, God didn't have to say, come now and let us reason together. God could have just left us in our own sin. He could have just left us there to die and go to a devil's hell, but you know what? He didn't want to do that because his grace and his love was so much for us that he sent his only begotten son to die for us. And so in the midst of all of that, Paul is so thankful and he's so grateful there in verse 6, praise to the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted. It is because of this. It is in him, because of him, that we have been made accepted. We have been made accepted. We have been redeemed through the blood, the forgiveness of sins. And so Paul is so thankful for the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Once again, just talking about how rich God's grace is. God had to be rich in heaven to extend all that grace down to a sinful man that would do all the things that a sinful man would do down here and still send his only begotten son to die for him. And we think about all the atrocities and all the sins that man has committed from the beginning of time to now, and even the ones that will happen many years down the road from now that we don't know nothing about. And God still sent his only begotten son to die for him. That is the riches of his grace. God already knowing the things that would come to pass. God already knowing how man would live. God already knowing the sins that would be committed. God already knowing how everything would turn out in the long run. God already knowing all the things that would happen. But even in spite of that, and the Lord Jesus knows you better than you know yourself. And in spite of that, he still sent his son to die for you. In spite of that, God still sent Christ to die for you. Despite of your sin. Even though he knew, already knew the things that we would do, he still sent his son, the Lord Jesus, to die for us. And he's thankful and grateful for that. And therein, in verse 7, he says, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. As I was studying through this, I was noticing there in verse 7 where the Bible uses the phrase in whom. And then when he says in whom, he's talking about the redemption there. But then, interestingly, you go down to verse 11 and he starts off with those two words again. He says, in whom we have obtained inheritance. And so I began to notice that in verse 7, he's talking about really that in Christ we have redemption. There in verse 11, in Christ we have inheritance. And then you get down to verse 13, he says, in whom, talking about Christ again. In whom, what do we have in him? Well, notice he says that in whom, talking about Christ, ye also trusted. You trusted in Christ after what? After you heard the word of truth. And after you heard the word of truth, what is the word of truth? The word of truth is the gospel of your salvation. And the gospel of your salvation, what does that mean? In whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And so in other words, you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ after you heard the word of truth. And the word of truth is the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you heard of the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, you believe. And when you believe, what happened was that you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Does that make sense there in verse 13? So there in verse 7, we see that it is in Christ we have redemption. In verse 11, he says, in Christ we have an inheritance. And there in verse 13, in Christ we have the Holy Spirit of promise. And so what more can a man ask for who doesn't deserve anything? What more can a man ask for who deserves the devil's hell than whenever we put our faith and trust in him, that it is in him, that it is in Christ that we are able to possess salvation, that it is in Christ that we are able to obtain an inheritance, that it is in Christ where the Bible says when we get saved that the Holy Spirit of God himself comes and lives and dwells and seals himself inside of you. Isn't it a good thing to know tonight that whenever you walk around, no matter where you go, that if you're saved tonight, the Holy Spirit of God is sealed inside of you this evening? No matter who, listen, no matter when you got saved, listen, it don't matter if you got saved 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, or anything like that. Listen, the Holy Spirit of God ain't going to wear out inside of you. No matter when you got saved. And if you got saved, the Bible says the Holy Spirit of God is sealed inside of you. The Bible calls it the Holy Spirit of promise. Holy Spirit of promise. And why is it the Holy Spirit of promise? Because God promised us when we get saved that we'd be sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Take a look at the next verse. Notice what the Holy Spirit is to us.
There in verse 14, he says, the Holy Spirit, in reference to the Holy Spirit, says, which is the earnest of our inheritance. So whenever we get saved, when the Holy Spirit of God comes and lives and dwells inside of you, it is the earnest of your inheritance.
Now, what is an earnest? You ever had to put earnest money down for something? It's kind of like a down payment. The Holy Spirit of God is, in essence, a down payment in your life until you get to heaven. Does that make sense? Until the redemption of the purchased possession, the total redemption of it.
There in that verse, take a look at it. Which is the earnest of our inheritance. We're talking about the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit of promise, he is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. There in verse 14, praise of his glory once again, which is where we go back to verse 6. Because what does verse 14 and verse 6 have in common? We're talking about salvation. We're talking about being accepted. We're talking about being in the Lord Jesus. And so there in verse 14, he's in essence showing us that whenever we got saved and the Holy Spirit came and lived and dwelt within inside of us, that the Holy Spirit became that down payment in our life.
He became that earnest that he sealed himself within us for us to know without a shadow of a doubt that on the day that we are fully redeemed, which means on the day that we die, whenever that may be, that whenever we enter into the gates of heaven, that we will know that that down payment, that Holy Spirit of God, is what God has said. The Holy Spirit of God that lives and dwells within inside of us. The purchased possession, the redemption of the purchased possession.
I'm redeemed right now in the fact that my sins are forgiven. I'm redeemed right now in the fact that that I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. I'm redeemed like that. But you know what? One of these days I'll be fully redeemed in the sense that this body's gonna give away. This physical body's gonna give out. It's gonna go on the ground. But my spirit and my soul's gonna enter into heaven. And when it does, that day I'll be fully redeemed. Be fully redeemed. I'll be with him. And then I'll have, at one time, whenever the rapture takes place, I'll have my glorified body whenever that takes place. But we can see there in verse 7 that we have redemption in Christ. There in verse 11, we have inheritance in Christ. And there in verse 13, we have the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit of promise. Why? We have these things because of Christ. And we have it because of his grace. There in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace. And it is only because of his grace where we have the inheritance, and only because of his grace where we have the Holy Spirit, only because of his grace that we have been redeemed. And there in verse 14, we'll end with that. He says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. The whole idea, the last part of that verse is whenever we get into heaven, and we're able to see the Lord face to face, and we're able to see the one who paid for us, the one who bought us with his precious blood. I can guarantee when we get there, there's one thing that we're going to want to do, and that's going to be praising his glory. Amen. When we get there in verse 14, one of the things that we're going to do is give praise to his glory. Give praise to the glory, to the fact that we're saved. Give honor to the one who has sealed us. Give honor to the one who has cleansed us. And give honor to the one who has made us holy. Give honor to the one who has forgiven us of all of our sin. And to the praise of his glory. All of heaven is all about him. All of heaven is us praising him and glorifying him, magnifying him. When we get to heaven, it's all about praising his glory. Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you once again for this day. Lord, as the Apostle Paul tonight, all of us here this evening are so grateful and thankful for what you've done for us. And God, we're thankful for the salvation that we possess. Lord, we're thankful for the grace that you supply to us every single day. And God, we're thankful tonight that we have been accepted by you because of your Son. Not because of our own good works and not because of our own good merits, but because of your Son, the Lord Jesus. And God, tonight we're thankful and grateful for the inheritance that you have so richly blessed us with. An inheritance in heaven that is incorruptible and undefiled. Reserved in heaven for us. And God, we're thankful tonight, those of us that are sitting here saved this evening. Thankful that when we got saved, after we trusted you, that you sealed us with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that promised us there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit that promises us and shows us that when we get saved, there's nothing that can take away that salvation. That when we get saved, that we can know without a shadow of a doubt that we're on our way to heaven. That Holy Spirit of promise. That promise to take us home. That promise to be with you one day. As you said in your word in 1 Thessalonians, that we sorrow not as others which have no hope. The reason why we sorrow not as others which have no hope is because we know that we possess and within ourselves that Holy Spirit of promise. Lord, I pray tonight you'd help us to walk out these doors just seeing and understanding how blessed of a people we are. And even though sometimes the day doesn't go as we intend, Lord, help us to remember that no matter the day and no matter the hour, no matter the situation and the circumstance, that we are a blessed people. When we read the book of Ephesians, that we can see just how much thanks that we can give. How much blessing that we can offer up to you. God, I'm glad that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. Like Brother Jonathan, he got saved 10 years ago today. Lord, I'm thankful that I'm saved. I remember the day that I got saved. I pray, God, you'd help me to always be thankful for that. Help us, Lord, to never forget that day that we got saved. Help us, Lord, to never forget what you saved us from. Lord, I pray you bless us tonight. Give us a good remainder of the evening. Keep us safe as we go home. May everything we do this week bring you honor and glory. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.